can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
Well, it's been a week and my chicken's still almost done.
<That's> the longest chicken.
It's been a while. It's chicken breast, so you know they take a while.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm okay. A little bit tired.
Fair. That's fair. You know, you've been up making this for a week.
It's exhausting to cook for a week straight. But yeah, it's just been a busy few weeks, so it's just exhausting. How about you?
I'm doing well. I think last we left off, we were talking about the source of our anxiety.
Oh, yeah. My mom. Done.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't know. I feel like obviously your parents are really always going to be the source of your anxiety, like originally, or at least your upbringers.
But, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I was an anxious kid, but it was manageable. And then I became an adult, and it became less manageable.
See, and I was an anxious kid, but I just didn't know it at the time. But I was always worried I was going to be in trouble because everything was so unpredictable.
Yes.
You would just come home, and they'd be upset at you for something, and you would get this scolding, and it was just like, what the fuck? Like, you can't even be like, hi, how was your day?
Yeah. You know, I never thought about that, but that is a commonality between us, because I had a very volatile household, just like that.
Because, like, oh my god, how many times you'd come home, and they discovered something.
Yep.
That you did bad, and you just immediately got this scolding, and
they get like it was the unexpectedness of it, and it was the delivery, because it would just be like unloading on you,
and it was the fact that they dwelled on it all day, so they'd come to all their conclusions already.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they've had a chance to think about it.
Yeah, and so everything was this surprise factor.
Yep. Yeah. That's
that makes me so mad.
Yeah, I'm getting mad thinking about it. Because
my chicken lower.
So many things like that are out of your control, but even if it was something that you legitimately did, I don't know. I wouldn't blindside somebody that I cared about with something like that.
Which I used to, because I thought that's how you're supposed to do things.
Oh, yeah. Same. don't misunderstand, I've done it, but adult me, who has had a lot of therapy, does not do that.
Oh, yeah. My maturity level is like, now when I bring things up, I have to be aware that you may have a reasoning, and if you don't, then I don't assume you are being, like, spiteful or bad or ignorant or something.
Well, and I think another thing that is indicative of that generation and how they were brought up is that if you did something wrong, then you were not a good person, right? So yeah. If you made a mistake, you're not a good person. And so whenever you and I would make mistakes, they assumed that we were being not good people, or that there was, like, they needed to rectify it immediately.
Yeah. Right? Well, and it's also funny, it's kind of like watching politics now. The reason, like, my parents love Trump is because he doesn't bullshit things. His theory is, what I say goes, and you don't have any explanation. You're just supposed to believe me. And that's how they raised me. It was very much because I said so.
Yep.
And
I hate that so much.
Yeah, and when I started, like, questioning things and all, it turned into this long debate, and I would wear them down until they would stop forcing it, because I'd be like, this is not logical.
Mm-hmm. And then they'd say, and, because I said so.
Yep. And I'd be like, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm. God. And that was all the time. And
it
sucks whenever you're a logical child, whenever you're really trying hard to understand things, that all they do is say is, because I said so. And that's just not a good enough answer.
I remember one time in high school, I had a seizure because...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. My doctor explained it as I would stress myself and just short my brain out, basically. Mm. But what was I doing? Oh, I was watching Saw 4 in theater. And it was when her scalp was being ripped off.
Oh, God.
And I guess what I do is I imagine myself in the scenario and how terrible it would feel, and, like, and basically, like, all the blood rushes to my stomach or my head. I can't remember what he said. Whatever had happened, and I would literally, like, tense up and seize, and it would last a couple seconds. But it was exhausting.
Well, yeah, it's a seizure.
Yeah. And I don't remember the scenario, but I came home and I just, like, went to bed. I was tired after it. And the next day I had something. It was some, like, major choir competition.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents weren't going to let me go. Because they're like, oh, well, you are too sick to do that. You couldn't go do this that you were supposed to go do because you're too sick. So you can't go do this.
Wait.
Yeah.
So, it's that kind of vindictiveness that puts you on edge.
Yeah. Oh my God, I burned my chicken.
Well, it's been cooking a week.
I know, it wasn't frozen, so I don't know.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I should have roasted these peppers longer.
Maybe let this rest a little bit or something.
But
okay, it's close enough that maybe it'll just cook itself.
But, I remember stuff like that and it was completely arbitrary, because there were times that I was legitimately sick that they were fine, but there were other times that I would be legitimately sick and then they would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you just never knew what you were going to get.
I remember whenever they told me that, I said, that makes no sense. And they're like, what I say goes. And I'm like, so what you're doing is basically taking away my opportunity to gain scholarships based off of my skill because you want to be vindictive that I didn't do something you wanted me to. Because
you want to be in control.
And also, I think you guys are vindictive about this because I'm not an athlete or a country kid, which is what you've always wanted me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so you take it out on me in every possible way. Which, of course, it was this defense plan, blah, 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 blah. I ended up going, though.
Good. Good for you.
It took an hour.
Well, I mean, honestly, you still deserve to go. Because children deserve opportunities.
And I actually had real therapy yesterday. And we were talking about how I haven't been up to visit since, like, holidays 23.
Yep.
And they asked me on Easter if I was coming up there.
Ah.
And I said no.
What do they say?
And I basically am just like, do they deserve me coming up there?
No. I think that's what people forget, is that you don't have to give them your time. Especially parents and family.
Well, they don't give me their time.
Exactly. It's sort of like my dad, God love him, he keeps talking about me making him prime rib, because I made him this prime rib once, the standing rib roast that he has gone on and on and on about. And I want to make it for him because I enjoy cooking for people. But ask me how many times he's offered to come over or buy the rib roast or do any of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because therein lies the issue. And it's funny because he lives in Stillwater now, which is like an hour and 15 minutes away. Yeah. And so he's way closer than he was. And I've seen him like one time incidentally at my grandma's house.
Yeah.
And that was only because he went out there to do something with one of the cars out there. It was his car. And he needed to replace a battery, and they had left it out there.
Yeah.
And so I saw him for like 2 seconds. He barely said hi.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't misunderstand. I do love my dad. He's so distant.
Well, for me, it's this thing that my family's always like, we missed you, like, why don't you come see us? And I'm like, literally nobody ever comes and sees me. And some of the family that tells me they miss me come to Oklahoma City for random ranching things. And you can't even be like, want to meet me for dinner if you're that interested in seeing me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that. And you tell me that you miss seeing me. But when I get up there, and when I get to whatever family event, you guys are going to sit around and talk about this politician that you fucking love who wants me dead.
And my parents, well, my whole family, talks about ranching, which I have no common relation with.
Like, I understand it. It's not
totally
all the time. But it's, again, it goes back to things like, if you asked my parents what I enjoyed doing in my free time, they wouldn't be able to tell you. They'd probably say video games, which would be right, because that's been the same thing since I was a child. But I don't think either of them listened to either of the podcasts. Although I will say my dad did listen to the first few episodes of Beards and Sundries. But when I told him that I was not going to stop cursing on the podcast. So he did take an interest a little bit. But once I told him I wasn't going to do what he asked me to do, I think he sort of tapered off.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But, like, I know Joe's parents still listen.
Oh, yeah.
Ask about
it. I think that's so cool.
They know what I'm interested in. They'll send me things that are themed around things that I enjoy. And, I don't think my parents could do that same thing.
I feel like Joe's parents take more interest in my life than my own family.
It's because Joe has really good parents.
Yeah.
I know everybody gets, like, some sort of trauma from their parents, so, you know, nobody's perfect. But Joe's parents are, A+. They treat their children like humans.
Yeah.
And not like expectations. Which I think is how our parents treated us.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You are 100% right and well within your rights to not go visit.
Oh, yeah. I feel great about it.
Yeah. I used to feel guilty about those things. But no, I don't.
Now I'm all better.
Yeah, exactly. My mom called me the other day and was talking about like some issues with my sister because they live really close to my sister now, and so my sister is always getting in on the business. And she's just like, she drives me crazy. And I was like, she doesn't drive me crazy. She's like, what? And I was like, yeah, because I don't talk to her. I don't interact with her. When she tries to message me or call me, I don't do that.
I love it when I'm like actually having an argument with mom on the phone, which is rare because normally I don't stray away from her formula of how's the dog? How's work?
How's yeah. How are the got few it. Things I know how to ask about?
I feel like it's limited to those two things. And I just say work's busy. She has no clue I changed jobs. But when I'm arguing with her, I love whenever she like calls out something and I'm like, who do you think raised me?
Ha! I mean,
she's like, well,
sometimes they do act like it's not their fault.
Yeah.
Like they forget that they were your parents.
She's like, you're just so stubborn and you just talk through everything. And I sat there and went, who raised me? Who would I have learned that from?
Talked through everything. I can't believe you use logic and reason.
Well, it's because I wouldn't stop talking when she was trying to get me to.
Oh, well, yeah.
I learned that from you because you just have to continue talking or else you always get your opinion out to shut me up.
Yep.
And now I'm not a child.
I think my parents have learned that I am not going to shut up. And I also get like really heated and I didn't ever used to do that.
Sorry. If you're watching my camera, Reggie's licking my cabinet.
Aw.
Go away, silly. But yeah, I think the last time I argued with her, I said something along the lines of, you do absolutely do not just get to shut me up because you don't like what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah, they don't just, I mean, it drives me crazy that parents somehow expect you to continue the parent-child dynamic into adulthood whenever they never carried their end of the deal during childhood.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, you left me to learn how to be the adult I am to myself. I had to figure out how to navigate life as a gay man without you because I couldn't trust you.
And I still can't.
And I still can't. And yeah, I think that's... I think a lot of people, whenever they felt election anxiety and a lot of people had falling outs with their family, it's because of that. It's because yeah. I can't trust you and I still can't trust you. Because I can't trust you to care about me enough to see this from, to be empathetic enough to see this from my point of view.
Yeah. I'm always supposed to see it from their perspective.
Right. But they're... never expected to see it from yours.
No.
And I straight up told like my mom and my grandma, and my dad, I was like, look, like you guys wouldn't see what we're talking about because it doesn't affect you. It yeah. never impacts you. You gloss over it mentally. And that also is attributed to the fact that you don't care enough about gay issues to
well, you pay gloss attention. Over, you gloss over mentally because it's an embarrassment to you and you have no interest in understanding it.
Yeah. And while I will say it's not an embarrassment to my parents by any means at this point, it is something that they haven't figured out how to actively be an ally.
Oh, yeah.
And so there is this huge difference between not actively going out and lynching gay people and understanding gay issues.
Do you also feel like... Shit, I just lost my train of thought.
I feel like a lot of things.
I was like, it's actually right here.
Quite the issue. It's why I have anxiety.
It's going to come back.
Yeah, I struggle with this last election cycle, like everybody, because I know that people who say they love me voted for Donald J. Trump, who, while I don't think he actually gives a shit about gay issues, he's going to vote how his base wants him to. He's going to do things to maintain his voter base.
Oh, yeah.
And so, if that includes, I don't know, putting me in a camp at some point, I think he's completely capable of it.
Yeah.
And so, just seeing things like that where you know that your loved ones have voted for this guy against all the empathy they taught you as a child.
Well, we were supposed to be empathetic towards them.
Right. And that was what I found out later.
It didn't really matter how we treated others. It was just them.
Yeah. The empathy wasn't about, you know, everybody else. It was about
We were always supposed them. To yeah, be sensitive to their issues.
Right. No, don't worry about those brown people. Yeah. You worry about me. Can't you understand where I'm coming from? Don't worry about you. What about me?
The interesting part, I think, right now is people hate what they don't understand and fear. A lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. Spanish. They don't understand what they're saying, so that makes them mad.
Yeah. And they feel entitled racism. To, like, know what people are saying at all given times. Hey, yeah. Joe.
Hi.
Joe's home.
Hi, Joe.
Wow, he says hi. Down. Cool.
Yeah. We're trying a new thing. But, yeah, I think that's part of it, is that they feel entitled to know what other people are doing and thinking, while they don't want anybody else to know what they are doing and thinking.
Well, and everyone else can't be a criminal, but they can break laws if it benefits them.
Oh my god, I know. I fucking know. The number of times I see those stupid Blue Lives Matter stickers on cars that are out there. Yeah, I know. Thank you, Joe. On people who are out there just, like, speeding, driving like an asshole. And I'm just like, okay, well, I speed, and sometimes I drive like an asshole, but I don't claim to, like, support the police.
I mean, I speed and drive like an asshole, but I also know everybody else does, too. So
right. I leave them alone. But, yeah, I think that's also one of those things where it's... they could look at cases like, oh god, what was that kid's name who killed the guy during the riots? Brock something or other?
No, oh, I thought it was like Kyle Rittenhouse.
Kyle Rittenhouse, that's the one. That person is a hero, even though he murdered someone.
Yeah.
Brock Turner's the one that raped that girl for 20 minutes of fun.
Oh god, yep. Thank you, that was stressful. But it's things like that. Oh my god.
Mark them to $1.97.
Holy shit.
Okay, oh my god. Yogurt. What do you... I can't see what's on your screen.
It's yogurt. It's Greek yogurt. This is Elanos. It was
what?
Marked down to $1.97. These are 4-packs, so they're 50 cents a piece.
I want 1 or 9. Well,
too bad. But, yeah, it's things like that where there's the double standard, right?
Yeah.
And there's always going to be a double standard with people like
well,
that.
Well,
because it's not
he
about...
killed someone that they felt deserved it.
Yep.
And it's so it was okay.
Those people show up to church on Sunday.
Well, and I mean, it's kind of like what I wrote on my social a while back, where I said it's interesting how deporting these people right now is fine without due process.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if we're not following the constitutional rights. But boy howdy, when kids are getting shot up in school,
it's all
it doesn't matter. That Second Amendment right matters.
We don't know any other amendments.
The hypocrisy is insane to me.
Yeah, it's wild. But it also doesn't surprise me because that is the theme of this specific government is that we do what we want and we don't take any responsibility for anything.
Right.
And if something goes good, we did it. If something goes bad, that's somebody else's fault.
And somebody else, yeah.
Yep.
Because I'll never forget on January 6th when I messaged my parents and said, this is exactly why I was concerned with what rabbit hole you're going down. And they're like, this wasn't us. This was Antifa.
It was Antifa? Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
And I think that was the point where everything changed for me.
I mean, with good reason. That's an insane thought process. Like, you're just lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to me. You're lying to everybody. Yeah. But that sort of issue, dealing with family members who are like that, is so, so difficult.
It's kind of that weird thought that they're not the same people you were raised by. They're even worse.
Yeah. And I think that's true. I think there's been a devolution of empathy and propriety in their generation, especially amongst the people who are like super right-leaning, and they just have been slowly acclimated to this sort of Nazism, and I feel like if their grandparents were alive this day, they would punch them in the dick.
And I wish that would happen.
I wish it would too. I wish with all of my heart that the ghosts of American soldiers who died in World War II would come back and just shame them.
Oh, what I wouldn't give for that.
Oh, I know. $50.
Maybe $75.
But I mean, it makes it difficult to feel like you have any kind of like familial relationships. Because I've got them, but they're not strong, and I don't really have a good bond with many people in my family, aside from, like, my grandma and my niece. And even then, my niece is probably the strongest bond, because I can be the most honest with her.
You know, over the election, whenever I scolded Mom on the phone about her election situation, and told her that her hypocritical judgment on people based off the Bible is, I don't remember the whole path I went down, but of course she cried to my aunt and my grandma.
Yeah.
So then my aunt was on like checkup on me. So she was watching me closer and like commenting on things more. And then my grandma wrote me a letter basically saying that I need to understand. I don't know. I can't remember what it said, but it was basically Mom had taken what I said out of context. And so that everyone else was just kind of like focused on the wrong part of what I said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys, you blow everything up over the wrong scenarios. That's not at all what I said. I said the Bible was old. Yes. But the way she took it was when I said the Bible was old, that I just didn't believe it anymore, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to hell. She's so scared. When what I was saying was, why are you putting so much judgment on other people based off of a book that we've all acknowledged over time outdates itself continuously? We're obviously not murdering children when they don't listen to their parents.
Well, and, you know, you probably shouldn't, just as a piece of advice. I'm not a parent, but I'm assuming that parenting technique is not effective long term.
I mean, they don't really learn a lesson.
Well, so that's, I mean, that's just it, is it's very hard to get people who grew up in the Bible Belt to understand that they can't hold a book or a flag or a religion in so much reverence that it would cause them to care more about that than the lives of their fellow humans, right?
Right.
And I mean, that's what's happened. It's come down to idol worship is what it is.
Right.
And I don't know if you could ever, you know, tell them that without them freaking out. That's good. But I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, they're worshiping not God, they're worshiping the idea that everything associated with their religion is holy and infallible.
Right.
Which inherently drives the Nice.
Alexa, stop. I was going to finish, like, setting my meal to show at the end here.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to do that.
I am, like, 10 seconds from being done.
Well, go for it. There's no reason we can't hold on just a minute or two. Or three or seven. Besides, I'm looking for a very specific kitchen utensil that I'm not finding.
Ugh. I should have done different chicken. Okay.
You good?
Yeah, it's just shredding and not doing what I want.
Yeah, well, we're a mental health channel, not a comfort channel.
That's fact. And don't judge my cooking. I'm actually pretty good.
You are. That's true. That's true. And I would never dog your cooking. I've had it and I enjoy it.
Well.
But. Yeah. I don't want to belabor the point too much right now because I know we rag on our parents a lot here, but it's kind of the source of our trauma.
That's why we actually started this podcast.
That is true.
All right.
Thanks, Bob.
Under the camera, there's my finished plate. Got my chicken thrown in there.
Oh, yours looks good.
I'm excited for it. Ooh, actually.
My cream sauce is very
oops
and peppery, but it's not done yet. It's got to cook.
I just threw parsley all over the place.
Come on, parsley.
Now, with parsley and feta.
Oh, you feta.
Ah.
I know. Nice.
All right, we finished.
Good for us. I'm on SSRIs, so that's a feat. You're welcome. That's a little mental health joke for you. But thank you guys for tuning in, and sorry that I didn't finish my dish. But, you know, I'll let you know how it turns out.
Maybe we'll do a picture.
Maybe. We'll see what happens.
Bye.
Bye. And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the U.K., or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.